Well, good morning, everybody. If you don't know me, my name is Jonathan Baldwin. I am one of the associate pastors here at Emmanuel Bible Church, and it is good to be with you. It's very good to be with you. I said in the first service, I don't just say that as a, you know, some formal part of my welcome, but I really mean it. It's good to be with you. Every Sunday morning, I love looking out and seeing your faces and worshiping and singing with you. Some of you know that just about 9-10 days ago, I had a friend who passed away. He was my age, good friend from high school. But he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord with all his heart. And if you knew him, you would know that because he made a point of saying it. And he was a worshiper. And just singing these songs with you this morning, I was thinking about him literally being able to turn his eyes upon Jesus this morning and having a different kind of a worship experience than we're having in a glorious way, and I'm happy for him. But it's just good. Today is a little bit different. We have a guest speaker here with us this morning, as Ian mentioned. If you're not aware, Pastor Mark is away and traveling with Lynn and some others from the church, and they're doing a biking trip out west. I've seen some pictures. They're having a lot of fun, and so far it's been going really well, so they'd appreciate your prayers as they go, but it's good for him to be able to get away, have a little vacation, and that gives us the opportunity to do something a little bit different. And so it's my privilege to introduce our speaker today. With the launch of Awana Ministries this fall, I've had the opportunity to get to know Scott Connor. He is a missionary with Awana, and he and his wife, Leah, are the missionaries that cover all of northern Michigan. And so we've gotten connected with them. He's come, actually, and met with myself, Chris, and Linda as we've planned things for Awana. So I'm going to introduce him today. Unfortunately, his wife and his children are not able to be with us, but hopefully in the future we'll get a chance to meet them. I think it's neat to get a chance to have him meet you guys meet him, and as we partner in this ministry together. But he has four children, Dallas, Eva, Landon, and Jet. Their home base is in Cadillac, Michigan, so he made a little bit of a drive this morning to be with us. I'm grateful for that. Scott has some history with pastoral ministry that he's done, and then transitioned. Now he's done a couple of years in this Awana a missionary role, and he's going to tell you a little about what that means, what he does. But also just wanted to mention that he's an active chaplain in the Air Force Reserves as well. So thank you for serving in that capacity as well. You want to come on up, Scott, and bring the message to us today.
Thank you, Pastor Jonathan. It is a joy to be with you. And as I walked in this morning, somebody said, "Hey, are you Pastor Jonathan's father?" He looks really young, right? Okay. Just thought we'd clear that up. No, that was good. I just appreciate the opportunity to be with you. And yeah, I wish my family were to be with me this morning and to be able to connect with you. We're blessed. My daughter right now does have a fever, so they all had to stay home today. But they would love to be. They're here in spirit. So it's good to be with you. Well, hey, today I look forward to spending some time with you. I'm going to share, I asked Pastor John if I could share just briefly a little bit about our ministry with Awana, Awana Clubs International, and what we do as missionaries on the field. And then I'm going to hopefully be an encouragement to you as you launch off into this journey with Awana here at your church. So we're really excited. I know myself, my wife, we've been praying for you as you begin using Awana in your church to make disciples of kids. And so I look forward to that. I'm going to go ahead and share just a little bit now. I'm going to here's a picture of my family. Aren't they beautiful? All right, so, especially my wife. You know, I'm hopefully she's watching this. But it's my wife, Leah, and then Dallas. Dallas loves, she plays the French horn, following her father's footsteps. And she is 13. And then I have, next to her is Eva. Actually, that'd be on your left. Eva the Diva. Yeah, I can do that. She's given me permission just to say that. But she is our dancer, just a bundle of joy. And then we have Landon, To the right, there's a football player. He'll be starting that here a little bit. Just a great kid. He's very fast. And then Jet, the name speaks. Jet is a bundle of energy. Jet is 6 years old. So we are really blessed with an incredible family God has blessed us with. And to be a part of this ministry is such a joy. We truly do ministry as a family. And the kids see it, and that's why they were like, oh, they wanted to come today, because they love being a part of this ministry with Awana. And it's a family event. It's a family event. So I'm just going to share just a little bit about some of the things that we do as missionaries. Our primary goal in this field here in Northern Michigan, and I say Northern Michigan like Northern Michigan, but I call you Northern Michigan because we serve an area that's defined by Saginaw, which is right here, all the way over to Holland, if you were to draw a line, kind of cut Grand Rapids and Kent County in half. All right, there's a line there, and then everything north, including the UP. So it's a large territory, so you're part of Northern Michigan. I don't know if you've ever heard that defined to you before, but anyways, so 80 churches we serve, and what we do, and our goal is to reach more children with the gospel and make disciples. That's our goal, and that's accomplished in various ways. Primarily, we do that through training and encouraging and building relationships with those 80 churches and helping them be successful in reaching children and making disciples. So we love this ministry. We just do a lot of travel, a lot of connecting. Another part of the ministry, we've only been doing this for about 4 years now. I was pastor before, and God called us into this ministry. And another thing that a year into the ministry, the leadership in Awana said, hey, we want you, I'm like, me? We want you to be a field director and give leadership over 10 other missionaries across the country. So I have a missionary that serves in California and Florida and elsewhere that I give leadership to and encourage and do vision and administrative things, but just really appreciate that part of the ministry too. So I kind of have twofold. I've got local field ministry, and I've got around the United States that I work with. So just an incredible ministry. But I get to go speak at Grand Prix and connect with leaders, and my wife is involved in our local church. She does a small group within the TNT, and she also travels with me from time. I bring kids to come do visits for clubs, and so you might see some of my kiddos around. But we are so excited about you guys and this journey that you're taking with Awana. It's going to be incredible. We've been praying, and we're just excited to see what God's going to do. One of the things that has happened, COVID happened, right? Woo! Wow, COVID, right? Nobody likes that name, right? And one thing that we had to adjust our ministry, because a lot of what we do is in person, so we had to really make some adjustments in some of the training that we do. So we did it here in March, finished Strong Plan Ahead online virtual meeting, and we had 150 or so leaders that joined across the country, and we put on this event to help equip leaders in this very challenging time. It's been a challenging time, certainly, within Awana, and I'm sure you experienced that as well. One of the unique things about my ministry as well with Awana is that I'm able to bridge a gap. So I'm also a chaplain in the Air Force, and I serve about 30 days a year down at Patrick Space Force Base in Florida, and I like to go in the wintertime. All right, and you know why, right? So we get to do that various times throughout the year, get down there. But part of what I get to do is to bridge a gap for Awana clubs that are in the United States that are on military bases. So I meet monthly. I started this within our field because we understand that military and government's a different ball of wax, right? There's acronyms and all kinds of things that you need to navigate through. So I'm able to help. We meet monthly with a group of leaders from those chapels across the country in the different, we have Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, and different bases that are utilizing Awana and helping them be successful in ministry as well. Because it's really challenging. The military is a very challenging place to do ministry. So I'm able to connect in that way. It's really unique, and I love it. One thing that kind of came out of COVID as well is a conversation that I had with a, a pastor in Howard City, Pastor Josh Putnam. And we kind of came together. We had some similarities, and we have a lot of fun together, we realized. And so we said, you know what, let's go ahead. And Awana's put out this resilient book. And we're going to talk more about it here in just a little bit. But let's go ahead and have a conversation, a nationwide conversation, and go live on Facebook. And it's nerve-wracking going live on Facebook. But we have an hour-long conversation. We do it once a month. We're walking through the resilient book, because it's such an important conversation for leaders today and for the church, and we'll share more. But I just have a little promo video to share a little bit about that. It's just kind of a fun little thing I wanted to share with you today.
This is coming from our heart. This is not coming from somebody asking us to do this. We believe that this is one of the most important conversations we can have right now.
We want to invite you on a journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
A conversation. You know, this isn't just for us.
All right. Well, hey, I want to invite you, because this is a conversation that we're having with leaders across the country, and I want you to be a part of this. So I'm going to give you permission, we're in church, to take out your phone. All right. If you're on Facebook, I want to invite you to take out your phone and look up A Resilient Conversation with Scott and PJ, because this week, Tuesday at noon or 11 o'clock, I can't remember, noon or 11 o'clock, we're going to be in chapter 4 and discussing the importance of ensuring that our kids are growing in the Lord, and we're talking specifically about radical love, that our kids need to see radical love from us. And so we're diving into this important conversation that you can look back at our previous conversations, and we try to engage with leaders that as well. And I know Pastor Jonathan was one of our special guests on our last one there, so you could see him and the fun that we had together talking about very important topic for today. So I want to invite you, A Resilient Conversation. And most likely, if you ask to be a part of it, I'll most likely accept you. I mean, you all look pretty decent out there today. So that's good, but we'd love you to be a part of that. One thing, too, my daughter and I, this is kind of outside of Awana, but, you know, our kids, who has kids here? You have quick kids, all right? If they're on social media, if they're connecting with their friends, you know, via text or whatever, our kids don't have phones yet, but they use ours. But anyways, so 50% of what they converse with their friends are in emoji, right? Emojis. It's like another language for them. So my daughter and I were just kind of having fun, and we put together 15 verses in emoji. Does anybody know what this verse is? For God. Okay, I'll help you there. That's good. For God so loved the world, he gave his only, John 3:16, a familiar verse. And so that's been kind of fun, just a little unique thing we do, but just wanted to share that with you, that we're trying to think outside the box and how to engage kids where they're at, right? Engaging them where they're at. This might be, look, you might recognize some people here, right? All right, yeah, Chris and Linda and Pastor Jonathan, we met several months ago, and we were just so excited to dream about what God could do through this ministry called Awana in your church. And so we're really excited. And again, this today I hope is an encouragement to you. I'm going to give some challenges, all right? But I hope today is an encouragement to you in your journey with Awana and making resilient child disciples. We, part of our ministry, we are totally faith supported. So we are constantly looking for prayer and financial partners to join us in this incredible ministry we have with Awana. So I wanted to just share with you a site you could go to and learn more about our ministry. Also in the back on the information booth, we'd love for you to pick up a prayer card and post this on your refrigerator or in front of your toilet in your bathroom or something, to be praying for us in our ministry, because we would so love for you to be praying for us, because it's challenging day, is it not? We have many challenges out there, and so for us to be able to do this ministry, we rely heavily on partners like yourself to join us in this ministry. So that's just a little taste briefly about what we do. Again, this is an opportunity to get to know you and you to get to know us a little bit as we step into Awana together. And just again, look forward to it. But now I wanted to kind of shift a little bit and give you a charge from a passage of scripture that you might be like, why are we going? We're talking about children's ministry. Why are we going to Judges? Or why are we going to Judges? And actually, we'll do that in just a little bit. But I want to share with you this conversation that we're having on the topic of resilient within Awana. This is a young gentleman, a high schooler. He's got tennis shoes on and T-shirt, right? He looks pretty just like a high school kid, right? But what is he doing here? He's obviously standing, but does anybody know what he's doing? Yeah, yep. See you at the poll, right? Prayer that is a nationwide event that happens. Well, this is Hayden. And Hayden, what's also unique about the situation? He's alone, right? Well, today we want to talk about this concept of the remnant disciples of tomorrow. And we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be resilient. Hayden is resilient. I'm going to read for you just a little bit about this story. At first, Hayden said he thought the other kids were simply late. So he bowed his head and waited for others to join him, his friends. But as the minutes slowly passed, no one came. He was solo and publicly so. Exposed, abandoned, maybe a little embarrassed. At these crucial points in life when plan A folds, I'm guessing most people would walk away. Then later, many of us would probably have a few choice words with our friends who didn't show up. Typically, these things end badly. But Hayden did not fold. He did not leave. When plan A went bust, he had grit to move to plan B. His mother, Stacy, shared in her blog, Hayden told me as he stood alone and prayed, the cry of his heart had been, God, as people drive by, let them wonder, let their hearts be pricked. Eventually, when he realized that no one else was coming, the cry of his heart changed. He asked God would do something with his standing alone. She continues, the little boy I rocked to sleep in blue airplane pajamas when he was sick. The toddler who loved Elmo and couldn't go to sleep without holding his VeggieTales characters in his hands had captured the attention of our community by standing alone. By doing everything we've ever taught him, everything we've ever hoped he would do, I was completely undone. See, Hayden was resilient. Hayden had grit to stand alone against the culture. This picture went viral. And for many of us, this is encouraging to us about the hope for the future generations. Kids who will hold their faith no matter what. I'm sure parents and grandparents, I'm sure you are saying, boy, I hope my children have the grit, have the stick-to-itiveness, the resilience, like Hayden here. Philippians 2:15, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. That is the call for the future generation. That they will stand and they will shine like stars in the sky. In Awana, we've been talking about 2050. 2050. Now, what's so important about 2050? Well, in 2050, most likely the kids that are here, the kids that are in your ministry, will be my age or Pastor Jonathan's age. I don't even know how old you are. Anyway. They will be the future leaders of the church. So it makes sense for us to kind of imagine, if you will, to think about what 2050 is going to look like. And I don't know about you, but it looks pretty grim. this book was written, and this conversation was talked about and put together several years ago, pre-COVID, pre the shift that we see in the culture. And I dare say when that book was written, we now look at today and we say, wait, 2050 is here. We've seen such a seismic shift in our culture where we are being marginalized in our faith. Do you agree with me? Am I wrong in this? Do you see it? There's a massive shift in our culture, and it's away from Christ. It's post-Christian. And it's growing day by day. What does 2050 look like? It's going to be challenging, to say the least. So what we are talking about in Awana, what our purpose and goal and our focus today in Awana is to ask the tough questions, ask within our own ministry of Awana, ask the question of the church, are we doing enough? Are we investing enough in the lives of these kids? Are we instilling in them what it takes to thrive in 2050, to be the future leaders of the church? Are we doing enough? Are we giving them the spine, the backbone to stand against a culture that is going to be mocking them, ridiculing them, calling them crazy? And like I heard several months ago, a TV anchor put Christianity in the same sentence as radical Islam. Think about that. That's today. 2050, what is that going to be like? But give them that spine to stand on the principles and the Word of God. Are we giving them the tools to be able to stand? Are we also giving them the tools and the heart to be able to love that culture like Christ would love that culture? To love in a way that is contagious in a culture that is going to be spitting in their face? Brothers and sisters, this is a very important conversation to be had. Questions that we need to wrestle with. Are we doing enough? What are the tools we need to, what changes do we need to make to be able to give them the strength, the spiritual resilience, to be able to stand in love in that culture? So it is a call to resilient child disciple. A call for resilient child discipleship. And it needs to start today. And you guys, I'm so excited about your church and taking this stand and being able to move into that place with Awana, because we believe that Awana over 70 years is effective. Sure, we've made some adjustments recently, even in the past five or 10 years, to help bridge a gap and make some really incredible adjustments. And if you've been a part of Awana in the past and now you step into this Awana that you guys are starting today, I think you'll be encouraged to see some of the changes we've made to answer some of these questions and to dive into some of the challenging conversations. So spiritual resilience, what is spiritual resilience? It's a quality that describes the spiritual elasticity of a child or adult. The resistant strength to bend and flex but not break against the weight of culture. Our kids need this. And I'm looking at my own kids and the culture that they're living in today. Are they going to have it? Are they going to have that resilience to stand alone when no one else is standing and to love the culture? Matthew 19, verse 13. Then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. You know, when Jesus said, "Let the little children come," I'm pretty sure he wasn't thinking about only the church kids whose lives are supported by believing, loving homes. His words were meant to carry those other kids through our church doors and in our hearts. As you embark with Awana, you're going to see new kids come into your church. I believe it. I've seen it. We have a lot, many adults that are, you know, my age or Pastor Jonathan's age, and we're now having kids, and Maybe we are a part of the church. We were a part of the church, and we were in Awana, but you know it didn't stick, and now we're in the community. But you know what? We hear, hey, Emmanuel Bible Church is doing Awana. I loved Awana. We need our kids to go to Awana, be a part of it. What an opportunity, brothers and sisters, to engage with the community, to have an impact, to share the love of Jesus. See, it starts with kids. When we love a community's children, we will have more influence and more church growth than we can handle. And are we loved into loving Jesus? We are loved into loving Jesus. It takes the loving, caring adult to invest in the life, to show that love of Christ with a child, so that they can see that love and experience that love and then receive that love through Jesus. Such an important thing. Church, to make resilient child disciples for the future leadership of the church, we need loving, caring adults to oftentimes stand in the gap, to have a radical love that has a deep concern for the hearts of our children in the church and the children in the community. I've seen this in Awana. My wife, several years ago, was working with kind of her first time being a TNT leader, which is Truth and Training, which is your third through sixth graders. Okay, I'm trying to give you some perspective here. Third through sixth graders. And she was a small group leader. And she got her list of kids, and she's like, oh boy. I've got that kid, and I've got that kid. How is this going to work? These are like, why did they give me these kids? They're tough. They're the ones that are going to be bouncing off the walls and disturbing things. And I mean, she was nervous. She came home. She's like, Scott, oh boy, here we go. But you know what? She decided. She's like, you know what? I'm just going to love on these kids. And, you know, right off the bat, she, you know, would ask for prayer requests and dive into the lives of these kids. And, you know, it wasn't that long. It really wasn't that long. You know what happened? Those kids that were bouncing off the walls were like glued to Miss Leah. They were just like, somebody cares about me. Somebody loves me. Somebody wants to step into my world, not just know my name or not just to listen to Bible verses, but somebody who cares, who wants to engage with me where I'm at. That was attractive. And those kids started it off being the rowdy ones, and by middle of the year, they were the ones, hey, Miss Leah, can I pray? It takes that loving, caring adult to dive into these worlds and do these kids' lives and do life on life with them. You're going to find that these kids from your community are coming from difficult homes, difficult worlds. And how important it is for you to speak into that world and to love right where they're at. My wife tells me about some kids that were coming to the club that they're homeless. Whoa, what an opportunity, right? To show the love of Jesus. So as you step into this world, that is what is so needed, that loving, caring adult. Well, I'm going to give you a charge here from Judges chapter 6. Open your Bibles with me to turn to Judges chapter 6. Now, we don't have a ton of time here, so I'm not going to be able to really dive into this narrative like your pastor probably could on a 6 weeks or so sermon series on Judges chapter 6. But this is the story and narrative of Gideon. And we're going to kind of run through this, but I hope there's some encouragement that we can pull out of this for us today and for you today as you step into this ministry with Awana. And so I just pray that this will be encouraging to you. Let's go ahead and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for this church. We thank you, God, for them diving into this ministry of Awana and reaching children with the gospel. Lord, I pray now that as we open your word, it may be encouraged, God. May we be strengthened, and may we be renewed in our understanding of who we are and your call to us. God, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Gideon, the unlikely, right? The unlikely used by God. Follow along as I read Gideon, or Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all these things happened to us? And where have all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Powerful conversation here. I understand Gideon at times, and I think Satan would love for us to, he doesn't just have to get us to not believe. All he has to do is get in our minds and distract us and get us into the comparison game about who we are not, and get us focused on changing our identity from being children of God to distract us from his calling in our lives. Brothers and sisters, like Gideon, we need to find our identity. Gideon was like, "I'm a nobody. Who are you talking to me? You got the wrong guy." And I kind of see Gideon, you know, he might be kind of like me, scrawny, you know, not like a big muscle man, you know. Mighty warrior, man of valor. We got to find our identity in who God calls us to be. And like Gideon, we need to adjust our mindset, adjust our thinking, and understand that we are his children. We have the whole, if you are a believer today, that means you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you have not done that today, take care of that today. You know, Pastor Jonathan, myself, anyone would love to talk with you about what it means to be a follower of Christ and what it means to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if you are a part of his family, that means you've received him. You are his child. You have the Holy Spirit that resides inside of you. Understand your identity that is in Christ. Gideon was kind of confused, sitting in the threshing floor. Wait, who am I? No, I'm the least. No, you're not. You're a mighty warrior, and you're going to accomplish great things for me. Well, we need to also understand the journey. Understand the journey. And if you're, again, we don't have the time, but if you go from chapter 6 to verse 17 and read through chapter 7, you'll see this incredible narrative of Gideon going, wait, God, I don't believe that this is really going to happen. You got to show me another sign, right? So God calls him to step out of the threshing floor and takes a step. You got to pull down your father's altar, Baal altar, and you got to tear that down. And then wait a second, I still don't get this. So let's go ahead and do I'm going to prove myself to you. Put the fleece out there. The fleece is dry. The ground is wet. You know, wait a second. This is not enough. I still don't believe. Now we're going to switch that around. The ground is wet and the fleece is dry. I might have said that wrong. But anyways, the concept is Gideon is on a faith journey here. And we all are on a faith journey. God is growing us to accomplish his will, just like he's growing Gideon. And we even see that God knew Gideon in his heart because he understood that Gideon needed the Midianite dream to solidify in him that he was going to take God was going to accomplish this incredible task of destroying the Midianite army. And at the same time, I'm sure Gideon's going, now this is an impossible task. We got to understand, brothers and sisters, it may not always make sense. Does it make sense to go from 35,000 or 34,000 warriors down to 10, down to 300? Is that a good war tactic? I should be seeing some heads shaking here. That doesn't make sense, does it? You're going against 135,000 able bodies, right, with swords and shields. Does it make any sense to then go into battle with 300, only through a mere 300, and you're going in not with swords and not with spears. You're going in with a pitcher that has a fire in it, and you're going in with trumpets, and you're gonna yell at the top of your lungs for the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Does that make sense? Because you're saying, hey, we're 300, we're right here. We got the lights, come check us out. Does that make sense? Brothers and sisters, sometimes in our journey with our Heavenly Father, it may not make sense. But you know what? I truly believe, just like in Gideon's life, that God wants to do incredible things through you and through you and through you. If you're part of his family, he wants to accomplish great things. Why? Not for you to receive the glory, but that God would receive the glory. Amen? We need to step back and allow God to do these things in our life. Things that only God can accomplish. And then what? We need to expect that God will do these things. You know, we know how the story ends, right? So they're encamped around at nighttime, and they scream for the sword of the Lord of Gideon. They break the pots, and the light shines, and they blow the trumpets and make all this hoopla, and the Midianites wake up, and they start killing each other. Wow, that worked out really well. We didn't even need to fight. God did only something that he could do, a miraculous event to take place to show that God was the one that accomplished this, not Gideon or these 300. It was God. Do you agree with me? It was God that accomplished this. And time again through the Old Testament, the New Testament, we see God using the weak, God using those able bodies to accomplish great things for him. I could go on and on. But brothers and sisters, today as you embark on this journey of making resilient child disciples, recognizing what the future holds for your kids, and thinking about how you can give them the tools, give them the worldview through God's eyes, ensuring that they look through the Word of God and see the world around them, giving them that spine and that heart. As you endeavor in this journey with Awana, and I'm just excited to see what God's going to do, may I encourage you with this. Find your source of strength and your identity in Christ. Amen? We all know this, and I know this in my own life. When I try to do things on my own strength, it doesn't work out so well. So I know with Chris and Pastor and Linda and Pastor Mark, I know you guys have been clothing this whole thing with prayer, saying, God, we expect you to do incredible things this coming fall. And, you know, I've talked to churches, and I said, hey, you know what? You need to set a goal that only God can accomplish. But you need to make for sure that first and foremost, God is at the center of it. That he is going before you, that he's going to accomplish these things as you reach your community. We also need to understand the journey. See, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Discipleship takes work. And who here believes that working with kids takes work? Patience, right? All these things. But it's going to be hard, and we got to understand the journey that God is going to be right there with us. And it may not make sense all the time. Wait, why am I doing it this way? I don't get it. Well, you know what? There's probably a reason. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard working with these kids. discipleship, true effective discipleship, takes a lot of resources and a lot of time. So we got to understand the journey. Then we need to come to God with the impossible. We need to ensure that we understand that God can do amazing, incredible things. And when I talk to churches that, like yourself, that are starting off with Awana, I like to make for sure that I say, hey, okay, you know what? Have an impossible number of kids from your community, from your church, that you would be like, okay, we'd be blown away. This could never happen. Put together a number. And I talked to a small church. There's about 50 members in the church. And they're like, okay, well, how about 50? That's not going to happen. 50 kids. Woo, what would we do? Get a phone call 2 or 3 weeks later. Guess what, Scott? We have 51 kids, and we don't know what's going on. What an incredible opportunity. Expect God and believe that God will do amazing things as you open your doors to your community. And I look forward to hearing what God's going to do here. I'm excited to hear what he is going to do. Hold on to Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. God is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Do we believe this? Do you believe it? That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Church, it's today. We've got to believe it. We have got to believe it because it is so important. Now, I also believe that we're looking at 2050. I don't think the Lord's going to tarry that long. From what we're seeing today, so 2050 may never even come, but let's at least set our eyes on a goal for making resilient child disciples for 2050. Back to Philippians 2:15 as I close, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. May that be true of the kids in this community. So from Judges chapter 6, verse 14, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Go make resilient child disciples. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for the example set for us in your word. We think of Gideon and the journey that you brought him on to accomplish great things, all because of your glory. And we see Gideon in the hall of faith of Hebrews 11. And God, what an example. Thank you so much for that. God, I pray especially now for Emmanuel Bible Church as they take these steps of faith moving into this club year with Awana, reaching kids in their community. God, I do pray that they would shine like stars, God, that this church would be a beacon of hope in a desperately lost world that is in need of the hope that is only found in your Son. God, I pray for them as they get the leaders, and Lord, maybe there's one here today that says, here I am, I want to be that loving, caring adult in the life of a child. Sign me up. God, prick that heart. God, I pray that they would seek out people that they could be a part of this incredible ministry of Awana in this church, God, and that this church would grow by leaps and bounds through this ministry, Lord, and would truly be a testimony of you in this community. So, God, I pray a special blessing on this ministry as they embark on this in the next month or so, that you would just do a mighty work here. God, we're so thankful for the cross, for which your Son came and died in our place. What a perfect picture of love. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if pastor's ever done giveaways in your church, but I have a giveaway. I want to give away a resilient book, and so I'm going to do this. Let me think here. Okay, who here has the most number of kids in your family? Okay, we got some laughing going on there. Does that mean there's somebody with like 8 kids or something?
Yeah?
So 7? Okay, I was close. Anybody bigger than 7? 8? 8 kids? Well, you know what? You deserve this book. All right? Because you got a lot of little disciples there. Love to hear.
Actually, I hate to take it because half of them are all grown.
Half of them? Well, then pass it along to them and their kids. Yeah. I appreciate to hear your perspective on that and others as well. Thank you again for this time. It's been a pleasure. I know as leaders, we're going to be meeting after the service. I think Pastor Jonathan mentioned that more, but thank you again. Blessings.